out to discuss this issue in more detail. We're joined live on the phone with Dr. Ahmad Adin Ahmad, the president of the Minaret of Freedom Institute, which is, of course, an Islamic think tank based in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the show, Doctor.
Well, thank you very much.
Doctor, could you give us a comment, please, regarding the current stance of the Iraqi-Iranian relations? How do you see the relations between these two countries?
Well, I see the relations continuing to solidify and to improve. Ever since Saddam Hussein was removed from power in Iraq and the Shia majority established itself in the dominant position in Iraqi politics, the relationship between the government of Iraq and the government of Iran has improved, as well as the relationship between the Shia populations in the two countries. Unfortunately, there's been a strain, increase in the alienation between the Sunni Arab population of Iraq and Iran, which is a reason why ISIS was able to establish itself in that part of western Iraq. This has provided an opportunity for the Iranians and the Iraqi government to form a working partnership in terms of their fight against ISIS.
I see. So, if I understood you correctly, although this is a very simple explanation, after the fall of Iraq, after the fall of Saddam Hussein, the two countries were able to come together through or grow closer through shared interests. And is that correct?
I think that's correct. There obviously were shared interests among the populations of the two countries, but the extreme hostility of Saddam's government made the kind of working relationship that we see now impossible. Whereas now that the Shia majority has the dominant influence in the government of Iraq, commonality of interests has extended to governmental relations between the two countries.
Now, you mentioned something interesting when you talked about ISIS and the ability that it was able to establish a presence in, I don't know if I can call it a failed state, but in some of the failed areas of Iraq. Now, is this something that the people actually want there, or is this something that's being pushed upon them by outside forces?
Well, I think that the ISIS, the so-called Islamic State, is being imposed upon them by outside forces. However, I see that the local population is not resisting in the way that they might under other circumstances, because their fear and alienation from Baghdad is even greater than their fear and alienation from the foreign forces that are behind ISIS.
Interesting. Now, in your view, what role does Iran play in the process of resolving regional security issues?
Well, I think we can see that by particulars of recent developments. I think that Iran has played a significant role in, for example, the Iraqi state's ability to drive ISIS fighters out of Tikrit. Among the factors were that more than of the 20,000 of the 24,000 troops that are fighting ISIS, that's more than 80%, are Iranian trained and to some degree have been equipped by the Iranians or through their Shia militias. There are reports that the Iranians might have supplied them with high-powered artillery rockets and missiles, as well as some attack jets, which ironically enough, may have been the same attack jets that were seized by Iran from Iraq during Saddam's invasion of Iran.
Interesting. Well, I guess everything really does come full circle then. It's also interesting that I guess you mentioned that there was somewhat of a disparity in the relations that people feel between, let's call it the regions, and Baghdad. When I believe it was about within the last month, there was reports that ISIS itself had been Well, a few of the key members of ISIS or the Islamic State actually had been members of Saddam Hussein's government, and they had occupied key positions there. And then after the fall of Baghdad and the subsequent chaos that ensued, they decided that they would rather strike out on their own, so to speak. What's your take on that?
Yes, I saw those reports, and they sounded very credible to me. The particular people were named and identified as now playing a role in ISIS occupation in that region were people who were prominent in Saddam Hussein's regime. It is to be expected. It's quite logical. Remember that of all the people who were alienated from the new government, the Ba'athists were formally prohibited from participating. These are people who had, you know, experience in government or in the military or whatever roles they played, who were shut out, you know, because of their previous association with that authoritarian regime. Including them may have been understandable, but of course it has a predictable backlash that as soon as they have the possibility of working with, I know some people may be conspiratorially minded, may think that they're actually behind ISIS. I don't think it goes that far, but I certainly would expect them to want to collaborate with ISIS when it provides them with a practical way of fighting against the regime in Baghdad.
Sure. Well, let's change gears a little bit here. And as horrible as it is to say, it seems as if ISIS is a unifying factor for many of the countries in the region. And by unifying, I mean that they would rather not have ISIS be there. We can see that, it seems as if Iran has an interest in stabilizing the situation. Syria has an interest in stabilizing the situation. On the other side, we can see that Saudi Arabia or Turkey have an interest in escalating the situation. But Iran seems to occupy a key position in this puzzle that's there. And what would Iran's position be, or how would Iran's position change if Western sanctions against it are lifted? Do you foresee any change here in the fight either against ISIS or in the relationship between the West?
I think that it's highly likely that there would be a positive change if the sanctions were lifted, insofar as Iran's actions and attitudes would be concerned. We know that Khamenei, the supreme leader of Iran, considers the current negotiations a litmus test of the West's sincerity. If the current negotiations are successful, then I think he would remove any objection he might have to negotiating on other issues, including the ones that are central to these questions we've been discussing. However, I don't know that necessarily it's going to lead to a utopia of improved relations in the region, because there is a backlash from the Gulf states, especially from Saudi Arabia, but also their allies in the Gulf Cooperation Council, where long-standing enmity towards Iran would only be fired up by a softening of the relationship between the United States and the West in general and Iran. While I think the lifting of the sanctions would give Iran further incentive to become more moderate and less revolutionary in its attitude towards not only the West, but even to the Arab states in the region, I don't know if the Arab states would necessarily see it that way. And I think that they may feel, as the Saudis have specifically said regarding recent events, for example, that the United States not taking the lead in the invasion of Yemen, that the Saudis might think that the West is turning away from them and letting them down, even though I think from the viewpoint of the West, there is good reason to want to see a peaceful Middle East, and not to necessarily have wars in which we'd be forced to take sides one way or another. I think Iran would have, while it has its own interests and its own long-term political objectives, I think that it would be practical reasons, would be induced to try to be more moderate and more cooperative with other countries of the world in general. But I don't know how well that will go over with the Arab states.
Well, it definitely is a very complicated situation there. And not easy to sum up in a few short words. I would like to say thank you very much for joining us. It was a pleasure having you here, Doctor. And I'd love to have you back in the future for an update on the situation there. Speaking to us live over the phone was Dr. Imad ad-Din Ahmad. And he is the president of the Minaret of Freedom Institute, which is an Islamic think tank based in Washington, D.C.